If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we are here after the disappointing 23-15 loss that the Illini suffered at the hands of Michigan State and Mel Tucker at a beautifully filled Memorial Stadium, or darn close to full. Disappointing game had by the Illini to come this close and have different things that you can see that you could do different or better. So I've got on with me today, of course, we have Brad Sturdy, a fellow Illini guy. We have Illini guy staff writer Matt Stevens and Illini guy director of recruiting Kedrick Prince. So let's go right away. Matt, what did you hear at the post-game presser that, you know, jumped out at you?
The first thing I'll say is I think all of the players and all the coaches have gone through 18 months worth of football 101 with Coach Brett Bielema. They got a failing grade in that today, all up and down the line, because you cannot make the mistakes that you make today in a Big Ten conference game and expect to win. You can't fumble the ball three times. You can't make the special teams errors that you made. You can't do all of the things that you can do that Illinois did today on both sides of the ball. And on special teams, you know, Illinois begged to lose this game. And, you know, at the end of the day, after 60 minutes, they lost it, you know, and I find it very, very similar to the loss in Bloomington on September 2nd, because they did everything they could to lose that football game too. And they lost it. Illinois is not good enough to overcome that yet. They're not talented enough to overcome that yet. And, you know, you had a packed house today at home. I know that, you know, the athletic department and Brett Bielema himself really appreciate that. But none of that matters if you come out and don't play with the basic fundamentals that you've been taught for 18 months and that you've executed quite brilliantly during a 6-game winning streak. You just can't do that right now. And I think Illinois did everything they could in all three phases of this game to lose the football game. And the result was a 23-15 loss to an inferior Michigan State team. Everybody in that locker room, what I got out of Brett Bielema and the four captains that they gave us, because that's all they gave us, was this goes down as a game that we let slip away. We lost this game. I mean, they did the whole, hey, we got to give Michigan State credit. They know they lost this game. It wasn't won by Michigan State. It wasn't taken by the throat by Michigan State, certainly. They lost it. They just, like they lost the game in Bloomington. So we know now in November, in the first week of November 2022, that Illinois under Brett Bielema is still not good enough to overcome the litany of mistakes that they made tonight and still win a Big Ten game, no matter where the game is played and who the opponent is.
So, Brad, what were your thoughts, you know, in terms of your, if somebody asked you, you know, who wasn't at the game tonight, you know, like, how did this happen? What were your thoughts on that?
Well, it comes down to a couple of things. One, special teams were terrible. I mean, your punt team has to be better than that. I mean, you can't have 6-yard punts and things like that in a big game and key spots and give them short fields. I mean, Michigan State repeatedly had short fields, and people say, oh, they scored 23 points. Well, yeah, but they don't have to go anywhere to score. I mean, they're getting short field over and over. So I think that was a key. I think the Illinois red zone offense was just bad. I mean, they had that one play in the red zone where I thought it was, you know, special pass to Isaiah was really well executed. And then they had really well executed 2-point conversion. Other than that, in the red zone, they were brutal. And like some of that is they just got whooped up front. Their offensive linemen didn't get the, you know, couldn't get any push. Some of that is the way they, you know, the way it's designed. I think you repeatedly, third and one and fourth and one, they repeatedly can't get a yard over and over. You know, they can't score on these short yardage plays. It's just, it's kind of got to be frustrating because, you know, that's not, you're not, you know, playing, you're not able to control the line of scrimmage. It's going to be struggle to win these games. But at the end of the day, you know, they had their chances. They just didn't get it done. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. I just don't think, you know, this is another game, though. They outgained them by, 150 yards and lose. I mean, this is another game where they, if you look at the stat sheet, except for the score, you're wondering how Illinois was able to lose and really be behind for the entire game. So,
yeah, that it did have some eerie parallels to the Indiana game. Ked, what did you see, you know, from your vantage point?
Well, first, I have to thank the fans. I mean, I was one of the losers complaining about the fan not showing up today. I thought that was great. You know, Matt and I, Brad, were sitting there, and we it's been a long time since we seen the stadium that looked like that. I'm going to be all over the place today. I have just so many mixed feelings and emotions and facts and non-facts, I guess, and it's hard to swallow. It just is because, to me, you know, as good as I don't think I can blame the defense for number one because, as Brad, Matt both just mentioned, the special teams was horrendous today. Special teams play. You know, when you only got to go 36 yards to score, that puts a lot of strain on the defense. And then I believe in the first quarter, I mean, I think Michigan State had the ball for, I mean, I don't know, at least 7 or 8 minutes, and then they're on the field a lot, something that they haven't done. And I'm not one of the guys who just, you know, I'm not going to tank the season because of a loss, because you're not going to win every game. And people need to really understand that. But I will also put in a perspective when I say this, and I would really love to hear the three of your comments on it. Illinois ranks, 17th and 16th in the country or something like that. But they have two losses. Two of their losses came to the last place team in the East Division. So is Illinois that good or is the Eastern Conference that bad? I don't know, because that's a bad look if you look at it from my standpoint, because that doesn't bode well. If they win and they beat Purdue, that kind of scares me what's going to happen to them when they play in the Big Ten Championship game, when they go to Ann Arbor to begin with, and if they play Ohio State.
Yeah, and I'll throw in my two cents. If I was right now, and this is just my opinion, if I'm Michigan, I feel pretty good about playing Illinois, and I feel pretty good about playing Ohio State based on how their lines played today against Michigan State, which Michigan pretty much whooped up on. Now, it's when Illinois plays in a couple weeks, that's going to be a different day, a different team. Same thing when Michigan plays Ohio State. But to me, fundamentally, I don't think we can argue that the Big Ten West is anywhere near as good as the East. Matt?
Okay, there's two things there. One is, I'll take what Sturdy said about the short yardage stuff. Okay. This is not me. This is Alex Palcheski. We got whipped. And I can't put it any better. Illinois' offensive front got their butt whooped for however long they were out there all day. And you cannot have that. You cannot have that. I can't put it any better than Brett Bielema set it up on that podium. Why is the red zone stuff struggling? Well, we got to be able to run it in. Okay. And I'm sorry, but like, if you want to read between the lines of that comment, our offensive line needs to start moving the line of scrimmage and start knocking people on their butt. The reason that you can't make a third and one and then a fourth and two is because your offensive line got knocked on their rear. It's not because Barry Lunny can't draw up plays. It's because your offensive line absolutely did not tote the mail for those two plays, either one of those two plays. And that's why the drive stalled. You want to know why the drive stalled near the goal line, you know, early in the game that could have, that where Illinois leaves points again in the red zone? It's because the offensive line got whipped. Every one of them, all five, they all played really, really bad today. You cannot have that. And I'm not saying it. Your sixth year all Big Ten guy, Alex Palcheski, is the one that's saying that. Your captain. So that's where I think that this begins and ends with the offense, is that the offensive line, the guys up front that have to create a line of different line of scrimmage and create a physicality for, in order for this whole thing to work, they absolutely laid an egg today. The second thing is that I want to make this very, very clear. Ked is making a darn good point about Illinois' two losses that are just absolute anchors to this team right now, and reasons that I think they're going to fall completely out of the CFP top 25, because those two losses are going to look enormously bad. Here's the thing I want to point out. If Illinois plays this way, in Evanston, Northwestern will beat them. I'm dead serious. Illinois is not good enough to turn the ball over like they did, have the penalties that they did, and get whipped up front like they did. I don't care who they're playing in this league and what side of the division they're on. They will get beat. And I'm telling you, these guys are being told that tonight, and they'll be told that on Sunday when they look at the film. This isn't a who did you play problem. This is an Illinois internal problem of, we got whipped today and we got to do something about it. And they better start Sunday doing something about it, because they got a Purdue team that's going to come in here. And if they play that way against Purdue, guess what? They're going to get beat.
Brad, any thoughts on this?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything they said. I think the Big Ten one, I'll agree. I think the Big Ten West is bad, but at the end of the day, if you win the Big Ten West, you still won the Big Ten West, even in a bad year. So you take that and run with it. Illinois has never been in the Big Ten championship game. Be cool to actually get there. And, the second thing, I agree with Matt, they can lose to anybody. But the one thing I'll say is they haven't done that much this year. This is one of the two games. Every other game, they've done a great job at the line of scrimmage. So I think that this is I hope this is the aberration. And, you look at Purdue, they were bad today. As well. So, and they got rolled. So you got two teams coming off really poor performances, and Illinois still has everything that they want directly in front of them. If they beat Purdue, then they got to win one more game. Maybe not. Even here's the thing. If they beat Purdue, they could still win the West, even losing the last two, if they beat Purdue, just because they have the tiebreaker over everyone in the West except Northwestern. So if they beat Purdue, they would have a great road to the Big Ten West championship. So it's just that simple. So this is the game of the year. Most important game of the year is always the next one. And in this case it is, and they beat Purdue, and I feel really good about their chances of representing the West in the Big Ten title game.
So Ked, one of the things that you noted, which I think, is true, is the Spartans have some talent. That's what got them ranked 15th in the country at the start of the season. They haven't lived up to it, but the best part of their defense, has been their defensive tackles. And gee, they played pretty good today. Do you think there's anything that, the opponent that was faced, I kind of feel like I don't want to insult the Spartans all the way, because I thought their line play was, somebody had to win the battle, and they were determined enough to do it. Ked?
Well, I'm going to use a different term. Matt used the terms whipped. I'm going to call it spanky, because I thought they were just physical. They were more athletic than Illinois. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be blind. I'm going to pull off my own Kool-Aid glasses for a change. They were, I think their talent level showed today. They exposed Illinois in a lot of areas today, and I was concerned going into the game because I did tweet that about them being in the top 15. Let's, put this in reverse a little bit. They played Michigan really well last week at the Big House. So I knew going into this, when I saw that spread, I'm still, when it first came out, I thought, maybe they're, you know, they know they're going to be missing their top offensive linemen and their receivers and quarterback, because the spread was too big to me for number one. And again, I think the talent was there for Michigan State to do what they did. I know the offensive line was bad today. I know that's what the coaches said. I know that's what Alex said. You know, I got to listen to some of the press conference. But I'm going to tell you my concern, and I'm really sorry. I'm going to call a spade. The play calling to me today, it was F-minus. Because I said it last week, if you guys remember the podcast we did last week, you got to throw the ball down the field. You cannot continue to run it. As good as Chase Brown is as a running back, he is not a Robert Holcomb kind of running back with his power. That's why they can't get – that's why I think sometimes you don't get those third ones and fourth ones. He's a nice shifty back with a lot – he's been blessed with a lot of talent, but he's not really big. He's not strong enough to do that, especially if the line's not going to perform up to par, in my personal opinion. You're not – today, Illinois got beat at their own game. They were behind because they don't throw the ball down the field ever. You know, and they're usually up at that time, so they just want to milk the clock out. Today, they didn't do that. They're going to have – now, if somebody's hurt or injured, you know what? I don't know that. Maybe Matt knows, Brad knows, Mike, maybe you know. But if they think they're just going to just throw 5-10-yard passes down the field, even if they get to a good bowl game against some really good opponents, they're going to get embarrassed again. You can't do it. And they have receivers. Hightower and Bryant can catch the ball down the field. We've seen it. They just refuse to do it. And I think sometimes Barry Lunny gets too cute instead of just running basic plays and just things that are there. Because this red zone stuff, they had the bye week, they didn't fix it, and it's still an issue. Whatever that issue is, they still haven't figured it out yet, and I don't know if they're going to with 3 games left, guys.
Yeah, my only thing is I would just like to see less – plays, and Brad has talked about this too, less plays in the red zone that take so long to develop. You know, you got almost 8 men in the box in a lot of those situations. And if you're taking 1,001 to kind of read things, that sometimes means it's too late. So Matt, as we are looking now, if we had to take a look and say, you know, what do you think the biggest flex point was in the game? If you're going to pick just one key factor that was the difference in this game, what did you think it was?
Hugh Robertson kicking it into the protection guy and causing a 6-yard punt. Like, I mean, you have the wind.
Yep.
You need to be able to flip the field. You need to be able to give your defense a shot to, you know, get a 3-and-out, get yourself in a good situation so that you can feel like you can call anything you want. And what essentially Sean Snyder told, apparently according to Brett Bielema, was it was kind of like the Sean Lindetta thing. If you've ever have seen the Giants punter in Soldier Field, the ball moved. He hit it off the side of his foot and it hit the up back. And I mean, but you can't have that. Okay. And then you got Brett Bielema in the postgame press conference going, well, you know, Breezy can punt, Caleb can punt. To hell with that. Like, Hugh Robinson's got to be better. Like, you're not going to have them go out and punt like next week against Purdue. Give me a break. All right. I mean, you've got to go out and you've got to execute better. What I will say is, I mean, I don't want to repeat the Nebraska postgame, but this is just a message for all Illini Nation. You got to stop firing the offensive coordinator after every game and every loss. You got to do it. Because at some point there has to be an execution piece in this whole thing. And if the offensive line gets an F, there ain't a whole lot of that Barry Lunny can do. I'm surprised that I swear to God, I am surprised that Tommy DeVito led the drive that he did at the end, because he's dipping and diving between Michigan State pass rushers throughout basically every pass that he's running. And so they didn't even pass protect in the last drive for him. So I'm surprised Tommy didn't get killed. This offensive line played like garbage tonight, and they just did. And I mean, there were a lot of Illini fans that want to know why Barry Lunny did what he did, you know, near the goal line in Bloomington. It's because the offensive line played like garbage and didn't get the push they needed to get that score. The reason your drive stalled at the end of the goal line is because your offensive line played like garbage. I'm not going to be one of these people that wants to, you know, wants to hang Barry Lunny by his ankles every time that they lose a football game, because there's execution things that these veterans on this team and these starters on this team hadn't done for 6 weeks. They just flat out did against Michigan State. So from that standpoint, I think you got a real sour taste in your mouth. You got soap in your mouth tonight if you're an Illini fan, because you kind of realize that this Illini team has some deficiencies and they can't overcome mental mistakes and penalties and turnovers against Big Ten competition yet. We're just not there yet. And so you got to come out and you got to execute good against, you know, Purdue, Michigan, and Northwestern if you want to win any of those three games.
So, Brad, one of the things I was thinking about is you talked about this during basketball season a couple of years ago, that, you know, the game or two right after a star player is injured is when you got to watch out for those guys, that team, to kind of come together and pull an upset. And you think about it, Illinois beat the tar out of Michigan without Io on the road. Did you see any of that where maybe Michigan State kind of bonded together, at least for one moment here, and Illinois just happened to be the team that was on the schedule that week?
Oh, no question. I mean, they were playing. They came out there and played like they had nothing to lose, because the reality is they didn't. I mean, they were 17-point dogs. They have nothing to lose. They're throwing caution to the wind. They're trying to make plays. Hell, they at the end of the game, they probably did some of the dumbest football in the history of football, because they just played like they had nothing to lose. And I guess that's part of that mindset, but almost gave Illinois a chance to come back and tie. So, but they played like that the whole game. They you know, they were throw the ball, you know, down the field, running some just, you know, quarterback draws, taking advantage of Illinois' kind of lack of discipline. And they were just going at him, just run him, smash him in the mouth, defensively, offensively, come at him. And that's what they did. And because they played harder. I mean, I always hate the they played harder, but they were more physical. They were tougher. And I don't think, and I've said this all year, I don't think Illinois gets by because they are disciplined, because they are well coached, and because they stay within, you know, defensively, they are so always in the right place. They run to the ball. Today, you saw them over and over, like overrun plays, not stay in their gaps, stay in their lanes, and it cost them. You know, I mean, so, and Michigan State took advantage of that over aggressiveness. So I think Michigan State played with kind of a reckless abandon. They had nothing to lose, and teams do that. Now, can you do that every week? No. But when you're coming off this players getting suspended and an emotional loss, when you know, and you're playing for those guys, even if no matter what they did, you're still playing for those guys. They're part of your family. And you just turn it up a notch for 1 week. Yep. We've seen it all the time. And that was what happened today, I think.
Yeah, I was quoting you on a couple podcasts because I thought that was probably the most appropriate, you know, analogy. Ted, when you're looking at this, have we missed any components of things that you wanted to talk about?
I just want to see them improve. You know, I think something that Brad just mentioned, they are well coached. And I know the fans are mad, but nobody feels worse than those players. I've been a coach myself for years. I play. I know what that locker room feels like. I know they're all those players and coaches are going to say the politically correct thing to the media and to the fans. But I know what they feel like right now. But you can't hang your head. You got to go out and you have to go out and prove to people that this wasn't a fluke. I will say this. I'm not mad, and I'm not one of those guys that want to fire Barry Lunny Jr. I mean, I'm just not. Today, he didn't do well to me today. I'm just sorry. And that's life. Some days we don't write well. Some days we just have bad days. Today, to me, I don't think he called a good game. And I think if the offensive line can protect him, you know, as a coach, it's on you. And I think you have to adapt to those situations. That's what great coaches do. My philosophy has always been, if, you know, if somebody decides to take something away, better have a counter to it, multiple counters to that. I don't think that's part of today. And let's face it, I'll leave you with this. The red zone has been an issue all year. So this isn't an offensive line all year because they've won seven games. They have to find ways to score. Other teams find ways to score. Iowa was one of the worst offensive teams in the history of college football, and with that, they're tied in. Illinois needs to find something where they can get points in the end zone because it's cost them too many games. Well, in my opinion, two games, and it could hurt them later on.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, you know, Matt, as we kind of look forward now, you know, you got a game against Purdue, which I personally, I've been higher on Purdue than most people. I thought they're better than they've played. I thought they also had a better opportunity with an easy schedule to put up some good numbers this year. It hasn't happened, but I worry about that passing game. What are you thinking here? What are the Illini need to do here in the next few days to have a better result at the end of the game next Saturday?
Mike Kegley, I think you're higher than Purdue than Jeff Brohm is on Purdue right now, because I think Jeff Brohm's a pretty honest dude. I covered him for a year. He'll tell you if he doesn't think his team's very good. And he's halfway said, even after wins, like, go back and watch the on-field post-game interview that he had after the Nebraska win. And he looks about as exhausted as for running a marathon and goes, God, we aren't very good. Like, I mean, the one thing I will say about Purdue is that I think this Illinois team loves to make teams play one-handed. And Purdue almost intentionally wants to play one-handed because Jeff Brohm won't run the football if you don't make it. You know what I mean? Like, my God, I keep going back to how bad Nebraska's run defense is. If Purdue had a running back over 100 yards, which they did, because Jeff Brohm intentionally doesn't want to run the football. Like, so I think Ryan Walters is a good matchup for somebody that wants to play one-dimensional football. And so I think that there are things that Illinois can do based off of this game film that they can learn from. But I'll say this, I think the Michigan State offensive staff took advantage of Ryan Walters' aggressiveness on several occasions. And I think Sturdy mentioned it a couple of times, you know, on those screens and on some of the, some of the horizontal stuff that they were doing in the passing game, just to kind of get Keith Randolph out of his lane, who I didn't think played. Honest to God, I think if you take the entire offensive line and defensive line, I thought Johnny Newton played well, and you can have the rest of them. Calvin Avery had moments. And you can have the rest of them, because I didn't think Keith played that well today, and he got out of lanes. I thought the edge rushers weren't very good, but they took advantage of Ryan Walters' aggressiveness and were able to capitalize some time. I think Purdue, in the way that Jeff Brohm draws up this offense, that's something that they're going to look at, and I think you're going to see that next Saturday. Now, does Ryan Walters make an adjustment? My point on Barry Lunney is that I think this is a work in progress, and Barry told everybody it's a work in progress. And if Illinois is not very good at something right now, I don't know why a lot of people want them to try and do it. And to the same exact point, and I don't like using basketball analogies because I think it speaks down to the people that actually like Illini football. But it's for the same reason that Kofi Coburn doesn't shoot three-pointers. It's not very good, and you'd probably lose if you did it. I think if Illinois consistently threw the ball down the field, it would probably be go for an incompletion, and they're not very good at it right now. So, but there's ways to win a football game by having that be your Achilles heel. Like, there are, trust me. I just watched Illinois do it six straight times, if you execute well enough. And Illinois didn't today. And a lot of that has to do with the big guys. And that's a referendum on the exact thing that Brett Bielema wanted to bring to this program, is that we are never going to physically get whipped. And today they physically got whipped. And I think that he takes this one. I could tell kind of emotionally, I think he takes this one a little bit to heart today, because Michigan State, and I thought Sturdy said it best, like, for anything that you want to say about Mel Tucker. And by the way, if I'm the Michigan State AD and I'm paying you $90 million guaranteed, you better be able to finish a football game better than they did. Like, better than that guy did.
That's what the fans said on Twitter too, Matt.
however, the one thing that Mel does is that his guys will play hard for him. They had three defensive line starters out and a key reserve out after that fight in the tunnel at Michigan Stadium. And everybody on that defensive line managed to whip everybody on Illinois' offensive line today. And I think that deserves a lot of credit, because if you go back to Mel Tucker's lineage, he's a defensive line coach by trade. He's a defensive coordinator by trade. And they had their boys ready to play today. So I just think there's a lot that Illinois can learn off of. But I'll go back to what I said again, and this includes the game in Northwestern and Evanston at the end of the year. If Illinois plays like they did today, they'll lose three in a row. I promise you they will, because you cannot substitute whatever Illinois has in its basket right now with a complete and utter lack of execution. And I think that Illinois knows that now, and at least they should know that now, because they have two losses that they gave away. They didn't physically get outplayed in either one of those losses. They gave them away. And I think that that's what makes the soap taste so bitter right now in your mouth if you're an Illinois fan, because you know that you could be 9-0 if you hadn't just absolutely execution-wise given two games away.
Brad, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, I would say, by the way, another Michigan State player got hurt while we were talking.
Sorry, no kidding, Sturdy.
Can we get they have to figure out a way to stop that. And I get it, you know, whatever, it's part of the game. That can't happen. They got to find a way, because it just makes the game, honestly, the game's a mockery sometimes. Anytime Illinois would have a big play, Michigan State had a guy hurt.
Yeah.
And then he'd be back in there two plays later. So anyway, that's not really the point. But it does make the game kind of a joke sometimes. But no, I would say this. I think Illinois still has everything that they want in front of them. Go out and win two of the next three games, beat Purdue, and take your Big Ten West title. Go play either Michigan or Ohio State in the Indy, and you play like Michigan State did today with nothing to lose in that game, and see what happens. And then go to a bowl game. The reality is, if this team's 8-4 or 9-3, if anybody's mad about that, then you're not being honest with what you had predicted before the season. You're not, and you're a liar. So because nobody predicted 9-3, nobody predicted 8-4. Shoot, very few people picked 7-5. You know, most people were hoping 5 or 6 wins and they get to a bowl game. That was the goal. You know, enjoy this and let's go out. You know, they need to come out and beat Purdue and beat Northwestern and see what happens, because they win those two games. And if they play like they have the last 6 games, they'll win those two games. They play like they did today, not going to be good. So,
I'll dovetail off that real quick. Is that you, Mike? You also have a Purdue team that's sputtering. Go back and look at their last two games. They laid an egg at Wisconsin, and they laid an egg today at home against an Iowa team that's not very good. So you've got two teams right now that are coming off of a sputtering performance. So something's got to give in Champaign tomorrow after next weekend, you know, and on Senior Day. Oh, by the way, it's Senior Day. So if you can't get hyped up for, you know, a Senior Day performance, you know, in Champaign, I don't know what the heck's wrong with you, but like, it's not like Purdue's setting the world on fire either lately. I mean, I know Jeff Brohm thinks that this program's going in the wrong direction. So you've got a chance to get this turned around real quick.
Well, just remember, Matt, we're a lot older than you are. So we've got a lot more Illini football PTSD than you do. We've seen these perfect storms blow up in our face.
I've said it before and I'll say it again, folks. Find a job where if you're 38 years old, you're the young one. And it's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
So, Ked, I'm going to give you the kind of the last word on this. And maybe you can kind of a couple things, you know, your final thoughts. And then was there any whispers on the recruiting side or any people that were here at the game that, you know, you think people would be interested in?
Well, my final thought is I'm really concerned about next week, because I was okay, and then Matt just, you know, put a twinkle in, you know, in my brain, making me think, you know, Purdue did struggle against Wisconsin, struggled against Iowa. I'm concerned about them throwing the ball all over the field. I really am. If you don't get pressure to him, and he's not the most mobile guy in the world, McConnellism, but if you don't get pressure to him, it can be a long day. And I don't want to see Illinois lose two games in a row. I mean, I'm concerned about next week. I hope they make adjustments. When I mentioned the fact that they got exposed, that little screen pass was Michigan State's bread and butter. And when Illinois is aggressive, I think a lot of teams are going to go to that. from a recruiting standpoint, there were some kids there today. There were a lot of young kids, but the one guy that, you know, we talk about special teams, that I did get a chance to talk to, and I'll write a story on him on the line, guys, is Declan Dooley, who could have pulled his coat off today and got in uniform today and did a good job. So, but I just, having said that, I mean, there's just, the recruits aren't going to be phased by one game. Football's different. Those guys are just tougher, and I don't think they're phased by it. I know all the guys that were there, they were really encouraged to be there, and they know where the direction the program is going. One loss doesn't define a season, and no matter how frustrated fans are driving home, listening to this podcast, you won six games in a row, and you have seven wins. Nobody thought this, like Brad said. Nobody. Even the biggest homer in Illini Nation, Kendrick Prince, didn't even see this coming.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good to kind of keep in mind. I know people are looking at the negatives, but you know, you got to also think about where we're at. And there's an opportunity here still. You got three games, and I'm quite certain that Ryan Walters and Brett Bielema, Barry Lunny Jr. are not going to concede any one of those three games that are left. So I think we got a lot to build on. We will have podcasts as the week goes on. So I would like to thank Matt Stevens, Kedrick Prince, and Brad Sturdy for jumping on. And we will definitely go into you know, more detail this week. We'll have some previews of next week's game. And just like the Fighting Illini, we will move on. It's Purdue week. And, of course, Eye on the Illini is powered by IlliniGuys.com. That is the website that gives you everything you need, whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country or halfway across the planet. IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. And it's only $99 a year. Come on, you get 7 days to kick the tires. Guarantee you'll like it. Make sure you go back into the message boards and go out there and read those. You see how the sausage is made. And then the cool thing is you get a chance to interact with Ked and Brad and, you know, Matt and anybody else that you'd like, along with tons of other fans. And it's a lot of fun to do that. So I would tell you to take a look at us. We also have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular radio show that's on across the state of Illinois. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and then you can see all the stations that we're on, what day, Friday or Saturday, and what time. It's a two-hour show. All we ask that you do is please call and thank the station for putting us on the air. And, of course, we also have those available as a podcast if you're not able to listen. Those come out Saturdays at noon, so you can listen to the podcast and get that opportunity to catch up on Illini sports there as well. So we're always excited about that. And, of course, we have a full array of podcasts, Eye on the Illini. We also have Sturdy for 30. That's his award-winning podcast. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup. Those are out there regular. So that's definitely something that you want to be listening for as well. And again, come out and give us a try at IlliniGuys.com. It's just in time for basketball season and just in time for bowl season. So it'd be a great time to jump on board. With that, I'm Illini Guy Mike Kegley. Thank you so much for listening. And we will be back in a couple days. Go Illini.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.